When I say that I've known this morning speaker all my life, I mean that quite literally. Mark Hanstein and I grew up on the same street here in Denver, over there on Winona Court. He was a few houses down the block, and so we knew each other from diapers on, basically. Mark is one that was brought up in Lutheran faith, became a Christian in high school, went to Oklahoma Christian and studied Bible, went and preached in California, and then in Montrose, Colorado, in which he had a very, very successful work, about 17 years, I believe, and then went from there to Marble Falls, Texas, where he had another successful work for about 7 years, and then he was invited to come and to be a part of the staff at Bear Valley. Mark has a master's degree from Austin School of Theology in Austin, Texas. Is one that, if you go back and you look at the status of those churches in Montrose and in Marble Falls, you can see that the highlight of their history was when Mark and Lee were there. He very successful in ministry, very well loved by these people in those congregations. Even now, as I talk to people in those congregations, they speak so fondly of Mark and Lee. But Mark is one that has brought with him a great wealth of knowledge and experience. And now that he's also serving as one of the elders at Bear Valley, we've seen the blessing of that wealth of knowledge and experience as one of our elders and shepherds. And so look forward, Mark, to hearing a message from you this morning.
I forgot to bring the $5 bill to give to Denny.
I'll get it later.
But I appreciate the kind words nonetheless. I have to say that I cannot adequately describe the happiness that I felt when I became a member of the Lord's Church. I don't know how it was for you. I don't know if you grew up in the church or transplanted into the church, or to use the words in Colossians 1 and verse 13, were translated, so to speak. I don't know what your story is and how you came to be in your place in the church, or how you came to be here, but for me, the great happiness I felt when I became a member of the Lord's Church, I just don't have words for. I simply don't. It had not been an easy thing for me to get to that particular point. You know, I'd studied the Bible and I had debated my friends, so to speak, and I had considered deeply the implications of leaving the church of my childhood for the one that the Lord Jesus Christ built. And so at 18 years old, I made my decision and I became a Christian and I didn't look back. And I was and remain convinced that I was truly a part of that one church that you read about in the Bible. Of course, as you are well aware, this is the one that was founded by Jesus himself, the church that he promised to build, Matthew 16, verse 18. This is the one that Jesus purchased with his own shed blood, Acts 20 and verse 28. This is the one that's his family, 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. It's the one that's his kingdom on earth, going back to Matthew 16. This is the one that respects the fact that Jesus is the head of the church, Ephesians 1 and verse 2. And thus we worship God in the way that Scripture directs. We serve God by doing the work he's given his church to do, and we do it in the way that he wants it done. And we behave in a way so as to exemplify his character and to bring honor to the name of the Lord. And we live in legitimate hope of eternal life. This one church is the one that Jesus promised to save, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23 informs us. And I love this church that Jesus died for and purchased with his own blood. And yes, there are those who malign the church. Yes, there are those who blur the distinctive nature of the church. And Yes, as I said last Wednesday night, there are hypocrites in the church, and there are problems in the church. You just don't seem to ever be able to escape that. And yet, the church, the Lord's church, is precious. Amen. In the sight of God. And so it should be precious in our sight as well.
That's right.
I love the church for many reasons, but this morning I'm going to share simply two reasons. One is I love the church because of the purpose that God has for it. Church is not an afterthought. It's not just one of those things that in a carefree moment God said we need to have us one. You see, since sin entered into the world and death through sin, as Paul teaches in Romans 5 and verse 12, and because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, as he already mentioned in Romans 3 and verse 23, God determined even before the foundation of the world to reconcile man to himself. God's desire has ever been that all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth, as you well know from your study of 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. And since our great God wants all to be freed from sin, Romans 6 and verse 18, and the day of wrath, and to be free from the day of wrath yet to come, Romans 2 and verse 5, the Lord provided the means by which this would occur. And it involves the church that Jesus built. Therefore, I love the church that Jesus died for. The golden text of the Bible is John 3:16. And we all know what it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And so as an integral part of this divine plan, Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That was what Paul said in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15. And you need to understand and recognize the fact of the impact that very truth had on the life of the Apostle Paul. Because he saw himself as the chief of sinners and he felt that burden. And he was so grateful for the fact that God, through Christ, saved him from his sins. And of course, salvation is what Jesus is all about. Luke 19:10, the Son of Man come into the world seeking to save that which is lost. And so it's in Christ that God performed the work of reconciliation, having made peace through the cross, Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 through 23. And yet people choose whether or not to be reconciled. They choose. You know, this situation of leaving the church of my childhood and becoming a member of that one church that you read about in Scripture was no easy thing for me to do. In fact, such was the struggle that I began to try churches on for just a little while and see which one fit me the best, so to speak. And when I found out that that didn't work, I just decided that the mess that is the church, is, at least as I saw it, I was seeing it in denominational terms, and as you well know, most people can't think of church in any other terms except denominational terms. As I'm looking at that, I thought this confusion, this contradiction, this mess that I'm seeing, I've just had enough of it, and I walked away from it all, and I decided I'm not going to pursue it. I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to consider it. I'm going to act as if there is no God, and I'm just going to go through life. And I can remember, for those of you who know about this camp, I can remember sitting at Circle C camp. I don't know how you guys hoodwinked me into going up there.
Girls.
Yeah. And I can remember looking out on the scenery that God put there. This old sermon's going downhill fast. And I remember looking at the mountains. I can remember looking at the snow-capped peaks and the animals and the trees and all those things, hearing the brooks and all of those things that you see when you're hiking in the mountains. And I remember one of my friends looking at me and he just said, "Can you really say there's no God?" Well, you have to admit that it's just too profound to deny the existence of our great Creator. It's simply too profound. And so, as I began to think again, and I began to recognize that you make a choice, I began to realize that if I want my life to make a difference, if I want the assurance of salvation, if I want my sins forgiven, then I really need to look into this matter of what the Bible says about the church. And so I did, and I made my choice to be reconciled. Whereas before I did and was refusing the grace that God extends in Christ Jesus. Now, folks, what makes the church unique in all of this is its distinctive part in the eternal purpose of God, which He carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, Ephesians 3 and verse 11. You see, God has commissioned only His church to do His work in the world. Think about it. Only the Lord's church was given this ministry of reconciliation, as Paul outlines it in 2 Corinthians 5. And God commissioned or committed to this church the word of reconciliation so that it could entreat the lost to be reconciled to God. He didn't give that to anybody else, and no denomination can legitimately claim this work. It is only in the Lord's church that Jew and Gentile are brought together as one new man, Ephesians 2 and verse 15, because they've been reconciled in one body, that's the church, to God through the cross. You see, those who are saved, those having that divine assurance of the forgiveness of sins, were added by God to this church. Acts 2 clearly indicates that. This is a church that Jesus built. This is a church He paid for with His own blood. And once again, and I mean no disrespect, there is no denomination that can legitimately claim this. Amen. So I love the Lord's church because of the purpose that God has for it. But I also love the church because I can be a part of it. Now think about that. You know, some of us in this room, we don't think very highly of ourselves. Some of us in this room, honestly, this room isn't big enough to contain the egos that we brought with us to chapel today. But you need to understand something. No matter what you think of yourself highly or somewhere down below that, for all of us, it's a fact that none of us have earned the privilege to be a member of the church.
Amen.
None of us deserve to be a member of the church. And yet here we are. And we are here because of the grace of God. And all of us need to be keenly aware that it is only through God's grace that our sins can be forgiven. I'm keenly aware myself that without the blood of Christ, I'm without hope and I have no access to those spiritual blessings that are found in Christ. And so as I consider it and I have thought about it over the years, I thank God every day that me, that's not grammatical, but I'm going to say it this way, me, yes, even me, I can be a part of the church for which Jesus died. John said in 1 John 3, verses 1 through 3, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God, and such we are." And we don't belong to ourselves anymore. We've been bought with a price, as Paul said, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. that price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Savior. And thus you and I are members of God's family. We're part of that household of God, 1 Timothy 3:15. And I hope that we understand the significance of our being holy brethren and partakers of the heavenly calling. As Paul, the Hebrews writer, I should say, in Hebrews 3:1 refers to. You see, we commune with Christ in the weekly observance of the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 11. Not only that, but as members of God's family, we are those who proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We know what we did to become a member of God's family. We complied with the plan of salvation as given by God. But not only that, I can be a part of it, and as such, I'm part of that chosen race. You see, the Church of Christ is composed of the elect, according to the Apostle Peter. And this was all part of the plan that God had in his foreknowledge, that he predetermined the conditions of salvation. And God chose people to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 12. Those who are part of that chosen race, those who are members of the church, are those upon whom God gives his grace. They are the ones who receive the abundance of grace of the end of the gift of righteousness. And specifically, they're in Christ Jesus, because they're the ones who were baptized into his death, Romans 6 and verse 3. Are you aware of the fact that only in Christ does one have redemption through the blood of Christ, the forgiveness of his sins according to the riches of the grace of God, Ephesians 1 and verse 7. And thank God that anyone can be part of this chosen race, because God's election is available to all. It was available to me, yes, even me. It's available to you, yes, even you. Fact of the matter is, many are called, but few are chosen. This call, of course, comes through the gospel. And those not chosen are not chosen because of their unwillingness to comply with the conditions of grace. And so to call the Church of Christ a chosen race, which is what we are, is simply to refer to God's choice about those upon whom he extends his mercy. But more than that, we are a royal priesthood. Think with me for a minute. In the Old Testament, that priesthood was a select group of people from among all of Israel. They're specifically ordained by God and set apart for service to him. God chose this one group of people to come into his presence and carry out the worship of God. And no other tribe but Levites could legitimately serve in the Mosaic priesthood. Well, by the same token, Christians, you and I, are set apart for service to God as priests. As this royal priesthood, we have a duty to proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light, 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. As a priesthood of people, we are ordained by God to offer up spiritual sacrifices in worship to him. And we are the true worshipers whom God seeks to worship him in spirit and in truth. And I say this with all kindness, but no other church but Christ's can legitimately serve in these ways. Well, we're a holy nation. As God's family, God's church has been set aside or set apart by him. And we whom God has set apart as holy need to behave in a manner that befits godliness. We're called upon by God to live by a higher standard, therefore, than the world accepts. We need to recognize our part in that. And so you and I need to remember that this higher calling is something we need to take seriously, because it is so easy to fall prey to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life, 1 John 2 and verse 16. You see, as this holy nation, we need to live up to what God expects. And we need to live in a way that obeys and respects the commands of God. The Apostle Peter reminds us, as obedient children, don't be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And then I'm glad to be a part of the Lord's church, because that means I am one of those people for God's own possession. We've already referred to the fact that we are the children of God, 1 John 3, and the Apostle John also would recognize that Christ in Revelation 5 and verse 9 was slain, and he did purchase for God with his blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You know, when I think about this verse, since I've become acquainted with Neil, it reminds me of something that he said somewhere, sometime in the past. As he was growing up, I hope I get it right, that his dad would say, you're not better than anybody else, and nobody else is better than you, something along that line. And when you think about the fact that you are a member of the church, that is so applicable here. There's not a one of us that's better than anybody else.
Amen.
There's not a one of us that is above anybody else. We're brethren in Christ. Those things that separate people in the world, God in Christ transcended and brought us together.
Amen.
Doesn't matter what our educational attainments are. It doesn't matter what our gender is. It doesn't matter what our own thinking of our own self is. It doesn't matter what our race is. We're all one in Christ Jesus because of what Jesus did. All of us are the people for God's own possession. And it's this way because we trusted God and we determined to do his will and we legitimately accepted the grace that he offers us in Christ. And so you and I cannot afford to lose sight of what the New Testament church is and our place in it, because the New Testament church is the unique work of God. The church is Christ's body. It's not yours. It's not mine. It's Christ's. And we need to come to appreciate then the price paid for his church. The price, the precious blood of Christ. And we need never to malign the church. For in doing so, think about it, we really strike against then the very body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we need to love the church. We need to actively serve in it. We need to truly seek the best for it. And I love the church, and I hope you do too.
Amen. Thank you, Mark.